Well, good morning. Welcome, all of you. So good to see all of your smiling faces and hear your beautiful voices this morning as we begin in our worship service together. Just a couple announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin, just a note here on the back that VBS does start this week. Vacation Bible School starts Monday, June 19th. It's going to be at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren. So if you kids want to participate in that, be sure to tell mom or dad or grandma that you want to go and be a part of the Vacation Bible School. I believe there's still some registration slips out there in the narthex. You can grab those, or if you have more questions about that, you can see me after the service. Looking forward to a good week. I'll be helping out this whole week with the junior high group, so we have lots of activities planned. I think usually we always go down and spend one day wading through. Well, I don't know if we'll wade this year. It might be a little dry. We usually wade through the river and kind of collect trash and clean up there as a service project. So might just be walking on dry riverbed. But still, it's going to be a good week, and we look forward to it. And I hope that all the kids are prepared to have a good time and learn about Jesus there at Vacation Bible School. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday is Youth Sunday. We're going to have the youth leading us here in worship. They'll be taking part in all the pieces of the service, except the sermon. I'll still preach the sermon. Not unless we have a youth that wants to step up and do that. I'd be glad to allow them to experience that. But look forward to that. Also, we will be recognizing graduates next Sunday as part of Youth Sunday. So if you have those that have moved up from elementary to middle to high or graduated high school, please let me know. I have a good list of some that I know of, and we'll be sure to put those names in the bulletin. And if they're here that Sunday, next Sunday, I'll be sure to recognize them. And of course, the Moscow Church gives them a gift for their educational accomplishments. And so I hope that you come. If anything, you can just come and support the youth. We're so proud of our youth here at Moscow, aren't we? We're so blessed. We're so thankful for them, each one of them. And we support them and all that they do. And we pray for them and we encourage them. So I hope that next week you come and take part in that encouragement here at church. Also, notice here that we are going to have that ice cream social on Sunday, July 9th. We brethren know how to eat ice cream, don't we? And so we're looking forward to that. I hope that you can come. Of course, the time is still yet to be determined. I think they're making sure everything's in order there with the Heaven's Mountain Band. But we're looking forward to them coming. I don't know if you've got to hear Heaven's Mountain Band yet, the Heaveners, but they are good. And I don't say that just because they play bluegrass. Maybe just a little bit I say that because they play bluegrass. But they really are a good Christian group. And I've heard them several times and always was impressed with their show. So we're just going to be blessed to have them come and share with us. And if you don't like bluegrass, you like ice cream probably, right? So you can come for that reason and just enjoy the ice cream. Okay, are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone?
In addition to what's noted in the bulletin for the Gideons,
okay.
Cecil collected $640 in his box back there last Sunday. So that's in addition to what's listed in the bulletin.
Let's just look. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for Charlie for telling us that, and we just again appreciate the Gideons coming and the support that Moscow gives them. Praise the Lord for that. They are a good ministry. I don't know if you got to hear Cecil share last Sunday. Every time I hear the Gideons share about their ministry, I am always encouraged, because to me it's just one of the most easiest ministries. You just hand people a Bible and say, "Read it." And that's, at least for me, that's my story of salvation. I started reading the Bible for myself. And through that, I came to see my personal need for Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So, boy, I support them. Praise the Lord for that. And again, thank you for that update. Okay, any other announcements that you'd like to share? There's a wonderful little prayer here. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I'm going to share in this prayer. So if you would, bow your heads in prayer as I share this Father's Day prayer. God, our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless those fathers who have taken upon themselves the responsibility of parenting. Bless those who have lost a spouse to death or divorce, who are parenting their children alone. Strengthen them with your love, that they may be and become the loving, caring person they are meant to be. Grant all this, we pray, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Will you stand with me for this morning's call to worship? If you have your bulletin, this is on the inside, coming from portions of John chapter 14. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him." Let's turn in our hymnal to page 553 in the Sweet By and By. Page 553. be seated. Well, it's so wonderful to be back with you this week. We appreciate all your prayers and our traveling last week, but it's so good to just come home and to be here with all of you today. Want to just take a couple minutes now to gather up our prayer requests and our praises. Couple I want to put on your list, if you would. Would you put the name Imogene Michael on your prayer list? Imogene suffered a fall last week, and she is back, though. She was in the hospital, but now she's back at the nursing home, so we just praise the Lord for that. Nancy shared with me that she had a few bumps and bruises on her head, but that her spirits are high and she's doing well. So again, we just want to lift up Imogene Michael, just be in prayer for her and for her healing from this fall. Also, if you would put on your prayer list the Kenneth Morris family. This, I guess it was Friday, I officiated in the graveside service for Kenneth Morris, and that is Deborah's stepdad's father. And so if you would just be in prayer for that family, for the Kenneth Morris family, and for their loss of Kenneth. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Alan?
Darren, I'd like to thank everybody for all their prayers and all the cards they got while I was on the bend.
Yep.
And especially
Likely. Yes. Yeah. She didn't give you a treat too, did she? Now that, if she gave you a treat, we might have to worry you a little bit. But Alan, we're so glad you're doing well and seeing you come in here to the sanctuary. Of course, he's graduated to a cane, and we praise the Lord for that. That means you're making good progress. And so we know that that is answered prayers. I know it's a lot of hard work, too, that you put in, but that's also answered prayers. And we continue to pray for you, Alan, and just praise the Lord that you're doing so well and that you got Lee there to help you along through all this. So praise the Lord for that. Don't we all, though? Isn't that the truth? We certainly pray for patience. As we have these procedures, I had one on my ankle, and it just takes time to recover. Sometimes that can be difficult, but God helps us, doesn't He? He helps us, and He gives us the patience we need. So we just continue to look for Him for strength and healing, as you do, Alan. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Lee?
On Savannah Miller.
Okay.
I got a text from her grandmother that she has now been able to go to the Ronald McDonald House.
Okay.
And she just needs to go back to the hospital twice a week to check her blood and check her progress.
So sounds like she's doing really well, doesn't it? Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Answered prayers there. She's had a long journey, too. And so we just praise the Lord for that. If you didn't hear that, Savannah Miller, she's at the Ronald McDonald House. She's the little girl that had the transfusion and is recovering from that. And so this blood disorder that she's had. So we just pray that Lord will heal her from that, even through this procedure that she's had. And just praise the Lord for good news there. Thank you, Lee, for keeping us updated on her. Other prayer requests or praises? Anyone else? Joanne? Yep, that's. Yep. Pauline, happy birthday from the church to you. And it's good to see you. That's right, anniversary too. How many years?
68.
68 years they celebrate. That's a good thing, isn't it, Grand Grand? Yeah, he says yes. She said, if you turn it around, you'll know her age. 68. Okay, anyone else, Dana?
Your mother's not feeling well this morning.
Okay.
Okay.
Please pray for Debbie. Anyone else? Everett?
We need to continue to pray for Douglas Rexroad.
Okay.
He's in rough shape.
Douglas Rexroad. Be in prayer for him. Thank you, Everett. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now and our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. That was beautiful, Gene. We'll share together in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. We praise You for Your love. We praise You for Your righteousness. We praise You for Your goodness in our life. We praise You for Your salvation, Lord, in our life. We praise You, Lord, that we can trust in You, that You're a true friend that never turns Your back on us. Lord, that we can always look to You for help and for guidance and direction. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that we can turn and hear Your voice there as You speak to us from the pages of Your Holy Scripture. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, which empowers us to live this Christian life. Lord, we wouldn't be able to do this without his help. He is the great helper, and Lord, for that we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you that there is a heaven that has been created, that has been prepared for each one of us, Lord, for all who have believed in your Son Jesus. Lord, you have told us that where you are, that we will be also. Lord, we praise you for that place that we look forward to, being there with you and all those whom have went before us. Lord, we praise your name here this morning. We praise you for the healing that you bring to those that need your hand of healing. And Lord, upon our prayer list today, we lift up those names that, Lord, are mentioned that need your healing touch. Lord, we place them before you and ask for your healing upon them right now. Lord, we praise you for that touch that we've already seen on so many within our congregation. Lord, answered prayers in which we praise you. And Lord, for that we give you thanks. Lord, we pray a blessing upon this offering. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless Moscow. Lord, not to just bless ourselves. Lord, we want to bless others. Lord, we want to bless others in your name, that they might see your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your love. Help us, Lord, to share that message. Lord, bless the giver, I pray today, as we faithfully seek to tithe and honor you through this giving. Lord, bless us as we turn to your scriptures and, Lord, again, seek to hear your voice. Lord, we want to be more than hearers of your word. Help us to be doers. Let us live out our faith each and every day. Let us be true to that faith which abides in our heart and in our mind. Lord, we praise you now. We pray all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' blessed name. Amen. May we be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed now. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Literally, just turn to the end of your Bible and you're going to find it. It's the very last chapter. Just turn to the very last chapter of your Bible. Right before Concordance. And you'll find book of Revelation chapter 22. We're going to look at this final chapter here. Final chapter for a final sermon on this series on how do you know? How do you know? I hope that you've enjoyed this series. We've been talking about apologetics. Remember, apologetics is not about apologizing to everyone, but it's about bringing the truth, being able to defend your faith, defend what you believe, not only what you believe, but why you believe it. Sometimes we have in our minds of what we believe, but we just don't know why we believe it. Maybe it's something that we've learned or we've heard. We know it's true, but if we were put on the spot to prove it at that very moment, we might not be able to. And so apologetics is for every man an answer. And that's kind of what the Bible says, isn't it? We're supposed to have to every man, every person, an answer. The Bible is very well at defending itself. It doesn't need to, though, does it? It doesn't need to defend itself. But it can, and it does. And I think you've seen that in these sermons, that the Bible speaks truth, doesn't it? It speaks truth to power. That's a good one that's used these days a whole lot, isn't it? The world has a lot to say about truth. Only problem is they're not looking at the truth, are they? They just have their truth. And if you're not looking at the truth, then it's just your truth, right? Your truth, his truth, her truth, my truth. What do you get in society when everybody has a truth and everyone thinks they're right? Chaos. And just all sorts of bad things come from that. And so what we need is one truth. And that's what we have here when we look at the scriptures. How do you know the Bible is true? That's kind of one we looked at wasn't it? How do you know the Bible is true? How do you know that God exists? How do you know that Jesus is the Savior? We know these things because they're proven to us. They're proven to us. And we believe these things, most importantly, by faith, don't we? Now, remember, we're not saved except through faith, right? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Without that, we're not saved. So it takes faith. You know, at some point, the points of argument about something have to be laid to rest, and a person just has to make a choice. Will you believe or will you not? Personal choice, isn't it? Will you believe or will you not? A lot of times I'll stand beside the graveside of someone that just did this past week, laying them in the ground. And I'll say the one choice, the one decision that this person made, that they're Christian, that actually mattered out of all the other choices, was the choice that they put in choosing Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's it. No other choice you make matters. Just the one. And when it comes to eternity, just the one choice is all that matters. What did you choose? Did you choose to put your faith in Christ Jesus, or did you choose to live your life for yourself? That's the choices that the world is making right now. That's the choice that we're making. Are we choosing to put Christ first, to worship Him and only Him? Or are we choosing some other path? Remember, Jesus said there's two paths, right? There's two roads. There's that straight and narrow road. And where does that one lead? Right to the kingdom of God, right to heaven. Then there's that other broad, the wide gate. And where does that one lead? It leads to a place of destruction, is what the Bible said. There's two roads. There's two choices. You're either choosing Christ Jesus, or you're choosing the other path. There's only two roads. There's only two choices in life. So the Bible lays these things out for us. We know these truths. We can believe these truths. And I hope that you have, even through this series, just learned a better skill set for being able to share with others the truth and to defend your faith when pressed against it. And so I hope that you will continue studying and learning and having answers for these very difficult questions that people sometimes ask, like, how do you know there is a God? Somebody caught you with that question, could you defend your belief? We should be able to. You should be able to. And so we want to have these answers in our minds. We want to be able to share with people the truth. And so I pray that you continue to work at this apologetics. We'll maybe come back to this later on. There's some more questions we could ask. Although we're going to finish on this one today, which is, how do you know heaven is real? Isn't that a good question? How do you know heaven is real? How do you know heaven is real? Well, let's look here in our scripture. Revelation chapter 22, and it says, and he showed me a pure river. This is John speaking, of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of this tree were for the healing of the nations. Of course, John is sharing with us a vision of heaven, isn't he? This celestial city that will exist even here upon the earth as it descends down out of heaven. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him there. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the word of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let them be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let them be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Maybe you're kind of scratching your head on that one a little bit. But all that's basically saying is let things continue on as they are. Nothing is going to change. Time will continue on. Not that he wants you to remain in sin. That's not what it's saying. It's that this time will continue on. The time of this has not been fulfilled yet, but it will be. But time for now continues on as it is. And behold, he says, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the church, in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that a wonderful piece of scripture right there? Verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things say, surely, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As John ends his book of Revelation. Is there a heaven? That's the question. Is there a heaven? Isn't it funny, as I go to put this together last week, I don't know how many of you noticed, it was kind of all over the news, that a certain celebrity came out from Hollywood saying that he did not believe that there was a heaven. Do you know who I'm talking about? Y'all didn't see that? You must not be tuned in the news like I am. Maybe I'm watching too much news. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger came out. You need to look it up. Not right now. Listen to me right now. I say look it up. Everybody's got a computer in their pocket. They're thinking, let me take a look at this real quick. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you don't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is, apparently he didn't live through the 80s. He's an actor, and he's famous for a lot of intense action movies. Also was governor of California at one point. I think he came out and said he might want to run for president, but he's got a problem. He wasn't born in the United States. And so he came out. He was apparently being interviewed by a magazine. And in this interview, he was asked, what is the future for us? To which the actor replied, that he was reminded of an interview he had with another fellow named Howard Stern, in which he said, nothing is ahead for us. He said, you're basically 6 feet under. And anyone who tells you anything else than that is a, and he used a vulgar word there, He is a liar. That's what Arnold said. He went on to go say, I'm no expert in the spiritual stuff and what happens next to the soul. He said he knows that the body we see each other in now, we will never see again. He went on to say heaven in his mind is a fantasy for people. And while it sounds good to talk about seeing people again in heaven, he says we won't see each other again. For him, the definition of heaven was a place in the mind, is what he said. Heaven's just a good thought in your mind. He kind of described it like having a front row seat at a concert, and that in your mind you place those loved ones and those that are dear to you in your mind in this front row seat, and that when you think about them there in your mind, that you get this wonderful, good feeling. That's Mr. Schwarzenegger's belief of heaven. Believe it or not, he's probably not far off from what many others believe as well when it comes to heaven, that they believe it's fake, that it's not a real thing. Someone commented on Arnold Schwarzenegger said, Arnold should be more worried about whether hell is real rather than if heaven is real. I thought that was quite good. And it reminded me that a lot of people refuse to believe in a literal heaven, because if you believe in a literal heaven, then that leads you to believing as well in a literal hell. And so if you want to get rid of any thought of maybe missing heaven and going right into hell, what do? You just believe there is no heaven, and therefore there is no hell. So Mr. Schwarzenegger can live his life without any conscience about his Hollywood privilege life, live it how he wants, the way he wants, live it out any way he feels, any way he wishes, without any concern for any consequences when he leaves this world. No heaven, no hell. Really, his disbelief in heaven, it's just secondary, really. He doesn't realize that, but it's secondary. Because what he really needs to do is erase that there is a literal hell. That there is a God that is judging him and will ultimately judge his soul. And so for him it's easier, and for many others, to just believe that there is no heaven, so that we do not have to deal with the thoughts of a hell. Listen, friends, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we know that. We know that is true. In fact, Arnold actually is in the minority when it comes to a belief in heaven and hell. He's in a minority. That the statistics show that overall, around the world, the majority of people believe that there is a heaven. It seems like there is just a certain instinct within us, a certain just knowing that there is something beyond this world. There has to be. And that's what people believe. The statistics go like this, that in America, 74% of people say that they believe in heaven. That's a pretty good statistic there. More people believe in heaven than go to church, I can tell you that. 74% say they believe in heaven. Nearly 3/4 of all U.S. adults say they believe in heaven. 37% of people who say that they are religiously unaffiliated believe in heaven. 50% of those who answer their religion is nothing in particular believe in heaven. And 26% of agnostics, can you believe that? People that they think there's something, but they don't know what, they believe. And then even 3% of atheists, they don't believe in anything. They don't believe in God at all, and yet they still believe. 3% of atheists still believe that there is a place called heaven. Listen, if you are a Christian today, you should believe in a factual place called heaven. I tell you what was alarming, even in this Barna poll, when I was reading it, and all these different statistics, some of them kind of figured. 3% of atheists, that one caught me off guard, but the one that really caught me off guard was that only 92% of Christians believe in heaven. 92%. That means that 8% of Christians, somehow or some way, they don't actually believe in heaven. Now, that one blowed my mind. Because if they're a Christian, they should believe in a literal heaven. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what we know is true. So that's what we're going to talk about. How do you know, how can you know that and that there is a heaven? Why should we believe in a literal place called heaven? Well, first of all, write this down. We have, number one, an eyewitness account of heaven. We have an eyewitness account. And that's what John is giving us here, isn't he? He's giving us an eyewitness account of a literal place called heaven. God has taken him forward in time, and he's allowing him to see with his very eyes this place called heaven. Now, and John describes it for us. First, there's this river of water that is flowing like crystal clear, it says, through the city of God and from the throne of God. And there it says that God dwells. And then John sees these trees, tree of life bearing its fruit every month, which stood on either side of the river. And then third, he goes to describe how the curse of sin will be gone from this place, and that the servants of God are there. Who's the servants of God? It's us, right? The believers, the church of God, the servants of God are there. And so he's seeing all these things. He's seeing that the name of God is literally written in their foreheads. He sees that there will be no more night, but only day. That there'll be no more sun, but that Jesus himself will shine forth the light that we need. And he will give them light. And so then the angel says to him, write these things, for these are trustworthy and true. So we have an eyewitness account. We have someone that has been there who has seen it and who is bringing back that account to each one of us. You know, I think it adds another level to it. If you were to witness an accident, the officer would want to take a statement about what you've seen. I, at one time, was at an intersection and seen a wreck happen. I was an eyewitness to what happened. Now, to the court, that mattered. To the judge that would maybe rule on this particular wreck, an eyewitness account made a difference. But what happens if I showed up 10 minutes afterwards and said, hey, I got an idea about what happened? You think the judge would entertain that? Well, here's a guy, he showed up 10 minutes after. He pretty sure he knows what's happened. Maybe we should put his testimony in the record. Well, that's foolish, isn't it? Nobody would believe that. Nobody would want that. What they want is someone that's seen it with their own eyes. Something that viewed exactly what happened. Well, this car drove out in the red light, and then there was a wreck, and I wrote it all down for them, and they took it, and they decided the case by those things. The eyewitness account matters, and the eyewitness account matters for us here today. We have someone that has seen it with their own eyes. That makes a difference, doesn't it? As he's describing to us actual things that he has seen. I've seen some things. I haven't seen all things. But I think you would tell a difference between someone that is describing something maybe that they've read about or heard about other than somebody that's actually been there. I've not been to the Sistine Chapel, but I know someone who has. And they can describe it. And they can tell you details about the chapel much better than I ever could, because I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've never viewed it. I don't know what the smell is of paint there in the Sistine Chapel. I don't know what the sounds are there, but I know someone who has. And the eyewitness account makes all the difference in someone describing something as real. As real. John has an eyewitness account. He knows. He's seen it. He's heard it. He's viewed it. He's sensed it. And the angel says, write these things down so that you can take them back and share them with the churches. I want you to take what you've seen, what you've experienced, what you've viewed, what you've felt, what you've heard, and I want you to take it back and share it with the churches so that they too will know that this place exists, that it's real, and that God's people can believe in it. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I guess God could have just put within man's mind to write down the things which are, but he took it to the next level, didn't he? He gives us an eyewitness account, and John sees these things. Now, number one, we have an eyewitness account of heaven. Number two, a second reason we can believe in literal places of heaven is because others have seen and experienced it too. Now, that's kind of a little controversial, isn't it? But someone that maybe has seen heaven with their mind or their spirit. I know that's kind of controversial. And I tell you the truth, at times I have fought that a little bit in my spirit about someone that's saying, hey, I think I've seen the beyond. I think I've experienced the beyond. And at times my spirit's wrestled with that. Oh, I don't know. But then you look at Scripture, and it's not out of character that someone has seen the beyond or that someone has died and then come back to life. The Bible is full of people that have died and come back to life. Jesus himself raised Lazarus after he was dead 3 days. So it's not out of sorts that something like that can happen. And so I think in my spirit, after wrestling with these things for a while, I just come to appreciate those that had a testimony about seeing what is yet to come. I don't know that I believe 100% of everything that someone says, but there are, I believe, legitimate testimonies of people that have seen a vision of what is yet to come. To me, that just encourages me. I don't let it beat me up anymore. I just embrace it. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. I can get with that. I think it helps me. Just another way of confirming that heaven exists. We've had people right here in our community that are even connected to this church in many ways that have, she wrote a book, Randy Simmons' sister. I've read the book. I think she's experienced something real. And it, again, it's just an encouragement to me. How many of you ever seen the movie Heaven is for Real? Have you seen that movie about this little boy, Colton Burpo, I think is his name? And this little guy, he's got a busted appendix or something. He goes in for surgery. And when he comes out, he has this marvelous story to tell his mom and dad about, I'd seen heaven. And there, of course, you know, he's only like 4 years old. Okay, oh, yeah, this is great. But then he starts revealing details. I seen my sister. And they said, what? You seen your sister? Well, lo and behold, the mother had a miscarriage. They had not told little Colton about this. But little Colton had a story about being with his sister in heaven. And not only that, then he described what his granddad looked like that he had never seen before. It's just, if you haven't seen the movie, it's pretty remarkable. Look it up. Heaven is for real. I think there's things like that that are just other confirmations to us that heaven is real. Okay, we have eyewitness account. We have others who have seen and experienced heaven as well. Number three, because Jesus himself explained heaven to us. You know, your call to worship here comes out of John chapter 14. This is the words of Jesus. And what's he describing there? You read it. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in me. Believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, he says, "And where I go, you know, the way you know." For he goes, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus giving us an account himself of these things, isn't he? If you read the scripture closely here, Jesus as well is saying, "I am testifying to these things to you." Again, just confirming for us that that these things are real. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in, but lay up for yourself treasures in," and he used the word, "heaven." "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven," Jesus said. John 3:3, Jesus said, "No one ascended into heaven except he who first descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Over and over, Jesus confirms that there is a heaven, and that heaven is a real place where souls go once they leave this world. One of the very last things that Jesus did, if you think about this, one of the very last things that Jesus did was to ensure a dying man that he would go to heaven. Remember that? He's dying on the cross, and beside him are thieves. And the man looks over and says, "Can you tell me that I'm going to be with you?" And Jesus said, "Surely I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Isn't that wonderful? One of the very last things that Jesus did in his ministry was to ensure someone that there was a heaven, and that by believing in him, that he could go to that place. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Jesus confirmed, Jesus told us, Jesus ministered to each person the hope of a heaven and the truth of heaven. Okay, eyewitness account, witness of others, Jesus shared it. And lastly, I'll just say that deep down, I think we existentially know that there is a heaven. In fact, Ecclesiastes goes to say, Ecclesiastes 3:11, "God has set eternity in the hearts of men." That's what the Bible says. God has set eternity within your heart. And what I think that means is that inherently within you is a sense, a feeling, a knowing that this is not the end. That life goes on. That's how you get those statistics where 3% of even atheists, people who don't even believe in God, still come to some sense of saying, "Yes, yes, yes, heaven is real. Heaven exists. Heaven is a literal place. God has put within your heart this feeling, this knowing that heaven is a real place." I'm so glad it is. Aren't you? Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. Listen, heaven is real. We know it's there. Billy Graham once said, "We know heaven exists because God has put it within our souls a yearning for heaven. Down inside, he says, we all sense that there must be something beyond this life, and that feeling is universal. Isn't that wonderful? Billy knows. We know, don't you? You know. I know. Heaven is a real place. We sense it within ourselves, within our spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that without any doubt in our mind, Lord, just hearing these four simple thoughts about how we know, that we're reminded that there's no doubt in our mind. Heaven exists. We know. Lord, I just pray that each person here has made that commitment in their life, that when they leave this world, they leave this earth, Lord, that when they're called to the beyond, that, Lord, they make the journey upwards, not downwards. Heaven is up, Lord, we know. Heaven is hell is down. Lord, I pray that each person here makes the journey upward to heaven, to be with you, Lord, for that place that you've prepared, to be with those who are there waiting for us. And Lord, eventually to be here with you upon earth as your heaven descends down to rest upon this earth. Lord, I pray for each person now. Lord, pray your spirit will be speaking to their heart, and Lord, that you would draw them to make that confession of faith, Lord, that guarantees them that eternal reward. Lord, it's nothing that we do, you've told us. Lord, it's nothing that we earn, but it's something that you've gifted us through simple faith in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we each now confess that we are sinners. We confess that we have sinned. We confess, Lord, that we have done wrong. And Lord, because of that sin, Lord, we're unworthy of your love. But Lord, you've shown us your love. And Lord, you're gracious to send us your Son Jesus, that he would come and die upon a cross, and that all who would believe in him and confess his name as Lord would be saved. Lord, we do that now. We thank you for our Savior Jesus. We receive him into our hearts. We confess him as only Lord. Lord, we seek to serve him. We receive now the blessing of your Holy Spirit within our life. And Lord, we go forth proclaiming the good news now as your disciple. Lord, heaven is waiting for all those who seek it through Christ. That it's a great prize that can be received for all through their faith and belief in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray all these things together in your name. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn. Page 542, when we all get to heaven. Page 542. Let's stand together and sing.
Jesus, seek his mercy.
doesn't it feel so good knowing that if the Lord was to call you home right at this very moment, that we're going straight up to be in heaven with Jesus? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? I pity a person that doesn't know that their eternity, that don't have that eternal assurance in their life. Such a sad thing. Poor Arnold, having to go through life with these big muscles, and yet those muscles will be laid in the ground, and rather going up, he's headed straight down. That's based off his own testimony. I'm not judging. He's judged himself. I pray that Arnold will come to see that heaven is real like we have. Amen?
Amen.
I pray one day that Arnold will, before it, the Lord calls him home, his eyes will open up and say, "There's a heaven." I had to do that. Not hasta la vista, but there's a heaven. There is a heaven, friends. We can go there. He can go there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We know that there's a heaven. We pray for all those that haven't received your Son Jesus for that eternal gift. We pray for their souls now, Lord. Might your Spirit move in their life. Lord, that's what revival is about. Lord, we pray for revival upon our country, upon our earth. Lord, this world needs revival. But revival, true revival, starts with people seeing their need for Jesus and then the blessed eternal reward that comes along with it, that beautiful heaven that awaits all those that have trusted in Him. Lord, we praise you now for this blessed hope that we have and this truth in our life, that as we leave this world, we move beyond right into the kingdom of God, right there in heaven. Father, we praise you now. Bless us with these thoughts, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen.